Well, good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you on air, online, and in media ministry for 35 years now. So thank you for sitting with me at the feet of the Lord to listen for His heart to touch our hearts. Well, if you've been with us, you know that we're going through a series. It's an 8-part series, probably eight. I may go further because I'm having a ball with this series. I call it Clearly Stated Portraits of God because, as you know, if you've been with me for any length of time, I see portraits of God throughout the Scripture, but this series are the portrait names that He selected. So we've talked about the bread of life when we started a few weeks ago. Then we went to the living water, that particular portrait. The third was light of the world. The fourth was door of the sheep. The fifth was the good shepherd. And today, now we come to the time when Jesus said, I am the true vine. And my Father is the vine dresser. Yes, we're going to be covering John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. And so if you have your Bibles, let me invite you to start making your way over to that particular passage in John 15. And as you're going, just a quick reminder that all of these 27-minute broadcasts are archived on my website at markpg.org. That's markpg.org. I call it Helping You Hear God. And there are all kinds of resources on that landing page, different boxes with different things. Well, click on the broadcast box. And the next page, just click on Portraits of God, and boom, you'll have a list of all of these archived messages that you can get caught up with if you've missed some, or you can listen to them again, or you can share them with a friend. So that's markpg.org. I hope you'll check it out. Well, as we get ready to go through the Lord's love letters here, particularly in John chapter 15, as is our custom, let's just go before the Lord and ask Him to speak, shall we? Lord, I love coming together with my brothers and sisters. Lord, I love to sit at your feet in my quiet time in the mornings, Lord, and then with my wife in the evenings and with my friends over the airways and other friends at church. And we love sitting at your feet just to listen for your heart, to touch our hearts. And Lord, as we continue this journey about these clearly stated portraits of yourself, I pray I'll be able to really unpack it in a way that will really just be embedded in our hearts, that it can transform our lives, especially as we're looking at today, how you are the true vine. Oh, thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. And we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Amen. Amen and amen. All right, my friends. Well, we're going to jump right in here as we look at how Jesus said in John chapter 15, beginning in verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. In some translations it says that. Others it'll say He lifts up. And this is going to be a big point when we get to it here in a few minutes. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. Now, verse 3, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. And that seems kind of out of the blue, but we'll get to that. Then verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Well, we're going to stop there right now because I'm actually going to give you 5 subpoints for those of you that are note takers. Because when I look at the portraits of God, whether they're the 2-word combinations that I come up with as I'm going through scripture for various passages, or they're the clearly stated portraits of God that we're looking at in this particular series, It's always because we want to get a really good look at the Lord's heart, at the Lord's ways, at the Lord's character. Scripture says, you search the scriptures because in them you think you have life, but they point to me. And so today we're going to be focusing on the ways of the Lord as he is our true vine. I'm going to have five takeaways for you if you're the note taker that I mentioned a moment ago. And so let's start in verses 1 and 2 where I want you to see that the true vine, and by the way, and the vine dresser. Look at it in verse 1. I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. I'm going to go ahead and use these two terms interchangeably. Let me tell you why. Yes, I know that in one sense, the Son is saying I'm the true vine. And then he says, and the Father, who is distinct from me, is the vine dresser. But we also know that they're one and the same. It's the same thing that we deal with when we talk about the doctrine of the incarnation, how the Lord God became flesh and dwelt among us. God took on flesh in the form of the Son, the Logos, the Word, became flesh to dwell among us. Let's not get caught up with the mystery of the Trinity. We know that they're all one. He is all one. It's not 1 + 1 + 1 = 3. It's 1 × 1 × 1 still equals 1. So, excuse me, pardon me. So as we go through this, I'm going to treat it as the oneness of God, that the vine and the vine dresser, in a sense, are one and the same because essentially they are. All right. So here we have, I am the vine, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. And then he goes on to say, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he or we takes away. Now, here's the thing about that. That's a Greek word that's that we call aero. And aero, when you look it up in the, for example, the exhaustive concordances and the interlinear Greek English dictionaries, the first definition is to lift up. But as you go on with other alternate definitions, as we see in our typical dictionaries, it also says take away is an option. Why do we believe that it's lifting up here? Let me tell you why, and this is our first point. The vine cultivates, the true vine, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father, the vine dresser, they or he cultivates. He cultivates the vine, the branches, for the grapes. How does he do that? Well, we get a couple of things listed here. It's this idea of aero, which I believe means lift up. That's the best definition here, although most translations do not do so. Lifts up, I believe, is the best one because of the context, because he goes on to say, in every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear fruit. So here's the deal. In this passage, it's talking about a branch, a green branch that is still pliable and flexible and alive that is not bearing fruit. It might be leafy, but it's not bearing fruit. Okay, that's too valuable to cut off and throw away. So that's why I believe that this verb in the Greek, aero, should be rendered lifts up. He lifts it up. Something's wrong with this vine. He lifts it up to tie it on the trellis. It's gotten down in the muck or in the dirt, or it's not getting enough light. So let's lift it up and let's tie it to the trellis so that this green branch can one day bear fruit. Now that's strikingly different than what we're going to see when we get to verse 6 about another branch that's not bearing fruit. It's a brown branch, though, because it says it's one that's not abiding in the vine. If you're not abiding in the vine, if you're not connected, which we're going to get to in a few minutes, it's going to turn brown. It's going to dry up. Now, that's the one they're going to cast off. Now, again, I'm going to get to all of this more a little bit. I just wanted to give you a preview. Here in point one, takeaway number one, I'm simply trying to say that I am delighted that the vine dresser, cultivates us as branches to the vine. And also, this is a good place to kind of clarify something. I know that for years when I was younger, I would read about the vine. I'd think of the tendrils or the I don't know what other words, I guess canes you call them, that bear the fruit, you know. Well, those are the vines. That's part of the vine, but it's the branch part of the vine. Jesus is part of the vine. He's the trunk. He's the main stalk. I am the true vine at the stalk portion. And everybody who is going to be abiding or connecting with me is going to bear fruit. If you don't, you won't bear fruit. So what we're seeing here, however, is not that part yet. We're seeing in these first two verses, vines or branches, we should say, that are connected to the vine stalk that are green, are pliable, have leaves, they're just not bearing fruit. So the vine dresser, the gardener, the botanist says, okay, let's see what's going on here. Why these green live branches or sprouts or canes or spurs or different words in the actual vineyard vocabulary. Let's see why they're not bearing fruit and let's fix it. Let's cultivate it. And so he lifts them up or she lifts them up, not cuts them off or casts them off. They're too valuable for that. Green branches with no fruit are very different than brown branches with no fruit. When it's a green branch with no fruit, we're going to lift them up, get them out of the dirt, get them into the sunlight, get them away from the bugs, get them more, you know, moisture, whatever they need to, arrow, make sure they're firmly connected to the vine. They are, because they're green. We lift them up. My friend, if you're not bearing fruit, if you're going through a season where you're not bearing much fruit, that doesn't necessarily mean you're not saved. It just means there's something going on that's gumming up the works. And you know what? The vine dresser cultivates us. If we are bearing fruit, it goes on to say, guess what else they do to cultivate us? Guess what else the Lord does to cultivate us? He prunes us. Are you going through a time of pruning in your life? Pruning is to cut back. You know, and that could be hard. The Lord seems to be putting me on the bench. I don't know what's going on. No, he may be just pruning you for a season so that you can bear more fruit. Now, this analogy can go on and on and on with the science and the art of cultivating a grape vine. And I was doing some research on it. It's fascinating, but I won't get bogged down here with all of that. But listen, you don't just plant a vine stock and water it and say, okay, it'll be great. And oh my soul, there's over dozens of diseases, all kinds of insects, all kinds of drainage patterns, all kinds of sun exposures and all that need to be just right to cultivate much fruit. And they're going to be pruning us. They're going to be lifting us up as needed because we're very valuable as branches to our heavenly vine and vine dresser. Oh man, I just love that. Now, one of the ways that I know in my heart that this is how this should be interpreted, that there's no casting off or taking away of a green branch with no fruit, is given to us in verse 3, which seems like it's out of the blue. If all of these verses in this particular passage, this one goes, now what? Because here he is talking about the vine in verses 1 and 2. I'm the true vine. My Father's a vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he lifts up, arrow. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. And then in verse 3, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Wait a minute. What's that about? And then he goes, abide in me. And then he gets back to the fruit thing. Well, I think what the Lord is doing here, there's a gentle reminder of something that he's already explained to them, that his blood is that which cleanses. It's a metaphor of salvation. Later on, it's going to get even more clear when we get to, it was previous to this, to John chapter 13. He's bringing it up here in John 15 again. John 13, this is where Jesus washes the disciples' feet. And let me take you there for just a moment. We know that it's the just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that his hour was coming for him to depart from the world to the Father. And it goes on how they're going to have the washing of the disciples' feet here in this. And so he gets a towel, and you know the story, and he begins to go from disciple to disciple to wash their feet. It's a custom of hospitality that a servant or a lowlier person, in a sense, does that for them. But here he was taking that position to his disciples, and it was really strange to them because he's their rabbi. And Peter's the one bold enough to speak up. Verse 6, he came to Simon Peter, who asked him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "What I'm doing you don't understand now, but afterwards you will." "No, you will never wash my feet, ever," Peter replied. Well, Jesus replied, "If I don't wash you, you have no part of me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head." And then Jesus says this, verse 10, and this is what where I see a connection to what he's doing here in John 15. In John 13, 10, he says, "One who has bathed," Jesus told him, "doesn't need to wash anything except his feet, but he is completely clean. You are clean, but not all of you." For he knew who would betray him. This is why he said, "You are not all clean." So this is one of the clearest places where the Lord is showing to us that when he uses the word clean, he's talking about being saved. One of mine own. You're in. You're family. You're valuable. You're cherished. And once you're saved, you're always saved. No one can take you out of my Father's hand. Now, in daily life, walking upon the roads of life, your feet are going to get dirty or dusty. You're going to stumble into sin. You're going to do some things that aren't right. You're going to have some old patterns that are going to resurrect themselves. That doesn't mean you're not saved. It just means you're struggling. You've kind of soiled yourself. You've messed in your pants is another metaphor. And I just want to clean your feet. I don't need to clean the rest of you. You are already clean. You're already mine. You're already saved. Is that cool or what? So we started off here in John 15 saying the vine cultivates, continues to cultivate us as a valuable green branch that has already been connected, saved, cleaned, or cleansed and part of himself. Look at it again now. Verse 3, you are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. You've accepted the word. You've become one with me. We're in covenant together. You are my son. You are my daughter. You are my bride. I am the bridegroom. I call you friend. All of those things. You're already there. We're there. This branch is in. It is green. It's part of me. That's it. We are not going to just cut you off and throw you out when you're struggling and not bearing fruit. No, we're going to lift you up and we're going to prune you so you can even bear more fruit. Is that cool or what? So the vine cultivates, but then the vine cleans or cleanses. The vine cleanses, and that's a once and for all salvation experience. We get saved. We are secure in him. We don't worry about him getting frustrated with us and cutting us off. No, no, no. He says, "I will never leave you or forsake you." All right, that's worth just taking a pause, taking a deep breath and going, wow. This metaphor of the vine is extraordinary. We are saved. We are already clean. We are already connected, which brings us to number 3. The vine cultivates, the vine cleanses, and the vine connects. And he uses this wonderful word called abide. Let's pick it up in verse 4. Abide in me and I in you. Goes both ways. Where I abide in me, connect with me, and I will connect with you, in you. Goes on, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides or stays deeply connected to the vine, so neither can you unless you abide or stay connected in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me connects with me, and I in him, I connect with you. He bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. This is a powerful truth. This metaphor is basically saying what Scripture says elsewhere, if you're rooted and grounded in his love, guess what? You're one of his. the parable of the soils. Remember how the seeds were planted, and some that fell on the hardened ground didn't get connected down at the root level, and so it doesn't even grow at all, doesn't even sprout. Another one on rocky soil, or a slate of soil, which is or slate of rock right under the topsoil, so the roots don't grow very deep. So when the hot sun comes, the first one, the birds took it away, didn't even get in the ground. The second one was in the ground, had a little sprout, but then it shriveled up in the heat, the hard things, the difficult things, the trials of this world. The third one was seed that was sown among the thorns. And so when the sprout started to come up, the thorns choked it out. And this is those things, those distractions, the even some good things in life that you get so distracted, they become idols and it just chokes out the word. But then there's a seed that went on fertile soil that got deeply connected, root deep, very deep, staying connected, and it grows and it thrives. Well, similarly, that's what's happening here with the vine. Connecting deep in the vine, you will bear much fruit. Years ago, I was visiting an apple orchard in Missouri where I was doing a Bible conference, and one of the attendees invited me to come and see their orchard. Explained to me that they had engrafted apple tree branches onto this particular orchard that had wild apple trees on it at one time. They cut off all of those wild apple tree branches and they brought in from Washington State some Red Delicious apples branches, and they engrafted them onto these trunks. And they explained to me how they did that. It was fascinating. But I had to ask this question. I said, you know, I'm a city guy. How do you know if it really works? And I'll never forget what he said. Excuse me. Well, son, if you get apples, it works. If you don't get apples, it didn't work. Oh, okay. They don't work sometimes? Yeah, some of these, you know, we connect them the same way. But it doesn't get connected deeply enough to stay connected. So it turns brown. It dries up. So we just break it off and we throw it away. Which brings us to verse 6. The vine dresser cultivates, that's number 1. Cleanses, that's number 2. Connects both ways, that's number 3. Staying connected is so key, staying abiding so you'll bear fruit. But number 4, we see the casting off part. Look at it though very carefully with me. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, stop right there. In the second verse, it says, if anyone does not bear fruit, well, that's one thing. But if anyone does not abide in me, if anyone doesn't really connect with me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and they cast them into the fire and they are burned. My friends, this is crystal clear now that you start knowing the difference between the Greek term that talks about casting away in this verse, but a different Greek term up in verse 2 that says lifting up. The green branch doesn't bear fruit. The problem was it wasn't bearing fruit, but we got to work on it. We got to cultivate it so it will. It's connected. It's just not bearing fruit. It's temporary. We're going to fix it. Not this one. If anyone doesn't abide in me, looks like they abided in me, may have walked the aisle, may have gotten baptism, got baptized and got the certificate, but if there's no fruit at all coming and everything else is dry and brown and there's no life and no leaf, listen, 1 John puts it this way, they went out from us, for they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained or abided with us, but they went out to show that they never were really of us. Verse 6 is talking about branches that were engrafted onto the trunk, but they didn't take. They didn't make the connection, just like that apple tree orchard. And so a good vine dresser or orchard owner says, hey, if it's brown and it's dead, break it off, throw it away, and burn it. That's what this is talking about. You do not, my friend, listen, you do not have to worry about Jesus or the Father threatening to cut you off and cast you out because you're not bearing fruit temporarily. He just wants to cultivate it and prune you and do all the things they need to do, spray you for insects, you know, do whatever, to make sure that you're healthy enough to bear fruit. You're too valuable to throw away if you're really saved and connected, but you're just not bearing fruit. But if anyone does not abide in me, verse 6, never got really connected, though it looks like it, different story. They never were really saved. That's why this passage clearly, to me, teaches once saved, always saved, the security of the believer. You are secure. Verse 3 said that. You're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. You know, you may have dirty feet, but you're not having a dirty body. You're still mine. We just need to clean up the feet. You're not bearing fruit right now. It's okay. We'll cultivate you a little more so you will bear fruit. Oh, but if you're dry and you're hardened, and even though you prayed a prayer and went in the baptismal waters, but nothing changed, you never were really connected to the true vine. And then as we wrap this up, number 7, we're seeing in verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Scripture says, by their fruit ye shall know them. Galatians 5 tells us some of this fruit. It's love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. This is where the vine clarifies. He cultivates, he cleanses, he connects. That's the abiding. He casts off people that weren't really ever part of it, never really connected. And he clarifies, true disciples, they will abide in me, they will bear fruit, and they will glorify me. That's how you know. So Lord, we thank you for this, and thank you for letting us be connected to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez, and I hope you'll check out markpg.org for more. Till next time, fall in love with Jesus, the true vine.